Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Mitch. If you're visiting with us, I have the joy of sharing a brief pastoral reflection before Pastor Tim leads us in communion. So let me pray and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for the cross. And we ask now that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to know the glory of what Christ accomplished on the cross for us. We ask this in his name. Amen. So this morning I want to give four reasons for us to look at the cross. Four reasons to look at the cross. Nothing fancy, nothing, you know, fanatical, but just four simple reasons to look at the cross. The first of which is to look at the cross because God is holy. Look at the cross because God is holy. What does it mean that God is holy? It means that he is set apart, that he is different than human beings, that he is entirely of a different nature and being than we are. We cannot fathom how holy he is. He is perfect. The Bible tells us in Titus 1, he cannot lie. He has never sinned. He could never sin. He is entirely, perfectly holy. There's nothing God has done that is wrong, that is unjust, that is evil. Every single thing he has done is right and good and lovely. He is holy. And so we should look at the cross to see and remember that he is holy. I've been reading in the Bible the last couple weeks in 1 and 2 Samuel in my devotions. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, there's a story. It's a little bit of an odd story. And so the Israelites in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes God's presence with his people. And so it was in the center of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, or the center of the temple once it was built. And it symbolized the holiest place where God was dwelling with his people. And so they had to approach it with fear and the ways that God prescribed them to. And so the Philistines in 1 Samuel had captured the Ark of the Covenant. And in 2 Samuel, in chapter 6, the Israelites regain the Ark of the Covenant. This is a monumental occasion. They are getting God's presence back together with God's people. They're excited to have God in their camp again. And they are bringing it back to the Promised Land on a cart. Now, that is not the way it was supposed to be carried. It was supposed to be carried by Levites with poles going through rings on the Ark of the Covenant. And they didn't do that. They had it on a cart getting pulled by oxen. And one of the men who were helping guide the oxen, his name was Uzzah. And it's a funny name. Kids, you can remember that. Maybe you can convince your parents to name your next sibling Uzzah. That would be cool to have in our church, a little Uzzah running around. But maybe not after this story. So Uzzah was walking with the Ark of the Covenant, and the cart started to tip and fall over. The ark was going to fall off. And he goes and he touches the ark to stay it and to stop it. We would think, well, that's a great thing. He's keeping the Ark of the Covenant from falling into the ground. But no, he just touched the most holy object in the Old Testament where God's presence was dwelling. And he did not realize how holy God was. And so because he touched the Ark of the Covenant in that way, God struck him down and he died because God is holy. It would have been better for the Ark of the Covenant to land in the dirt than for Uzzah to touch it because he is immoral. He sinned against God. And in the same way, friends, each of us, because we have sinned against God, we deserve the same death. The wages of sin is death. From Adam till now, all of us have sinned and broken God's covenant, broken his law. We know it in our hearts. And so we deserve to be struck down as well. So we should look to the cross because God is holy, and in the cross, God's holiness is revealed. We're remembering through reading and drama and song the suffering that Christ experienced. The pain, the torture, the mocking, the crucifixion, the being forsaken by God. All of that is because God is holy, and the price that had to be paid to make sinners clean and pure was Christ dying and absorbing God's wrath against sin. So look at the cross because God is holy. Our second reason is look at the cross because, as we've said, we have all sin. The Bible is awash with verses that remind us of this reality. You can think of Romans 3, no one is righteous, no, not one. Or 1 John 1:8, if we say we have not sinned, we're liars, it says. Or Matthew 5:48, the standard to be in God's presence is to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But each of us, we know what Paul is talking about in Romans 7, where he says, the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I do the evil that I don't want to do. It lies close at hand. Its power is at work within me. I know it. I feel it. Each of us knows in our conscience the evil things that we've done, that we do. And whether we do things like lying by being dishonest with people we love, or being dishonest with our finances, or being dishonest with the government, or whether we sin with our eyes and we look at something we shouldn't, or someone we shouldn't, in the wrong way, or we sin with our words and being harsh or angry or rude or slandering people, we've all sinned against God. And so we need to look at the cross where sin is paid for. There's a scene in Pilgrim's Progress where Christian approaches the cross. And what's burdened Christian so long is this weight of sin, this weight of guilt, this weight of shame on his back. And he's had this physical burden in the allegory tied around his back, a big old burden on his back. Everyone laughs at him, mocks him for this burden. And when he finally gets to the cross and he looks at it, the burden falls off and rolls down the hill and is gone forever. And so when we look at the cross with our sin, we can realize that God forgives sin in Jesus Christ because Jesus paid for our sins. So friends, look at the cross because all of us have sinned against God. The third reason this morning to look at the cross is just what we said. Look at the cross because Jesus paid our price forever. He paid our price forever. It's so startling when you read Matthew 27 and Luke, the passage that Tim preached last Sunday for us, as all the different people in the scene watching Jesus get crucified keep saying over and over and over again, why doesn't he just save himself? Jesus, come on, if you're so great, save yourself. And the irony, we're meant to feel it, is that Jesus is saving them and he's praying for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so when we look at the cross, Jesus is saving sinners, each one of us, by dying in our place. He redeems us through that death. Kids, if you guys like going to the arcade, this story's for you. You go to the arcade, you buy some tokens, you play some games, and you win some tickets. You always want to win the most amount of tickets because the more tickets you have, the better the prizes you get at the arcade, right? And so you want as many tickets as you can get, and then you exchange your tickets, you redeem them for a prize. And in the same way, when Jesus dies for our sins, he's redeeming us. And so the cost of the prize is his blood. It's his life. And the prize that he's buying, that he's purchasing, is all of his people and their eternal forgiveness and their salvation forever. So look at the cross because that's where Jesus paid our price forever. I love how the authors of the Gospels include the story of Barabbas, a perfect example of substitution. When we see Jesus exchanged for a criminal, we need to realize that's what happens with each of us. When we put our faith in Christ, we are set free from the punishment we deserve, just like Barabbas was released free. He did not have to get punished for his crimes. And so each of us, as we believe in Jesus, we're free from that punishment, from our punishment. And Jesus takes on our crucifixion. So when we look at the cross, we should remember that that is where we were supposed to be. That is what we were supposed to get. We were supposed to get the punishment, the wrath of God poured out on us. But he took it for each of us as we put our faith in him. Finally, the fourth reason, look at the cross. Because faith in the crucified Christ brings eternal life. Faith in the crucified Christ brings eternal life. Let me read for you from Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's sermon at Pentecost, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So friends, look at the cross. Because through faith, through believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who was slain for each of us, we can have eternal life. And so look at the cross and believe that it is true, that it is real, that Jesus really died for our sins there. And look at the cross and repent. Turn from your sins. Sins will not satisfy you. They are broken cisterns that cannot hold water. But Jesus can satisfy your hungers, and he can give you life. And so look at the cross and turn from your sins and believe in Jesus. Follow Jesus' way of life. Finally, look at the cross and realize that is what we deserved. And so have a heart full of joy and gratitude and thankfulness that he took it on for us. So lastly, look at the cross and rejoice that Jesus died for you and for me and for all who would look at him with eyes of faith. Let's pray together.